Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to Live from Zarloth, a weekly improv newscast from the depths of space, hand-delivered to your ugly front door by Shoulder Knife. At this time, we ask that you relax, boot up your improbability drive, and enjoy. Long live Zarloth!
Good evening, subjects of the Empire. You are listening to Live from Zarloth. That's your number one resource for breaking news. I am Herc Dercules.
And I'm Ron Spackman.
And it is our honor to bring you tonight's top stories from across the cosmos. Oh, Ron, good to see you, my friend.
It's good to see you too, Dercules.
I accept that. I think there's something kind of fun about the last name.
It has a professional tone.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I value more than professionalism.
Okay, there it is. Yeah, that pause had me wondering, had me processing some things. It'd be, what if I called you Spackman? I'd be like,
eh, I'd love it.
Hey, Spackman.
There's a lot of Spackmans you might be addressing, if you know what I mean.
I suppose... You got a big family, Ron? You got more? There are a lot of Spackmans out there.
Well, there's a handful, and you know, Dirk, I know you're coming from a little bit of a different kind of profession, but there's a lot of Spackmans who have been right behind microphones just like these for, well, generations.
Do you know what I did before this?
I assumed it was manual labor.
I mean, look at me.
Yeah, you're
look
you're
at
cut.
This. Look, I am cut, but I am short, even compared to the other Gloribonians. I appreciate you pointing out just how absolutely ripped I am.
Oh, absolutely cut. I say manual labor, I was implying like air vents, like you were cleaning ducts.
There was a time about when I was four, I was climbing through the ducts and I was sweeping them out. That is something that I did. But what I actually did right before this was delivering coffee. Can you believe that? I worked. And the bottom floor of Live from Zarloth, I was delivering coffee.
Oh, from the ground up.
Ground up, here we are, sitting in the big seat.
That's actually beautiful. So this is a story of, dare I say, redemption, the triumph of the spirit.
You could call it a triumph of the spirit. As you know, I believe in something a little bit higher. I believe in my religion, of course. Right. But yeah, no, I think there could possibly be a sense of fate, a sense of destiny, and me climbing up through the ranks. And you know, I worked hard, and you know, there's nothing nefarious about it. It's just working hard, work, as they say.
I'm just intrigued by the word nefarious.
Tonight's top stories. There's a lot going on here in the Zarlothian Empire. We are glad that you are here with us, Earthlings especially. It's just, we are just tickled pink that you are here.
We are. And as another little gesture of goodwill to our Earthling friends, from the world of arts and cultures, ooh, on your very own beautiful green and blue planet, many symphony goers from Phoenix, Arizona, left their evening performance confused after the musicians began to consume their instruments on stage. The Phoenix Philharmonic was the first musical group of Earth to welcome multiple interplanetary species to their ranks, hiring several Terronians from the seventh moon of Terragon, as they've been praised for their musical abilities. However, Terronians consider wood to be a delicacy, and due to the pre-show catering showing up late, the audience was treated to the sight of four priceless violins being eaten during Beethoven's Fifth. Now, presumably from an Earthling's perspective, this would be the equivalent of having a Wisconsin sculpt a man out of cheese. You're just not going to get very far.
And from what I've heard about this beautiful, sunny, warm place called Wisconsin, I think they could potentially be making people out of cheese. That doesn't seem so far outside of the bounds of reason.
Here's something that I feel many don't know, is when you are behind the news desk, not only are you reporting these things, there's things we see that we don't even know how to put into the human tongue.
How do you do it? How do you explain something so, as you would say, alien? It's just another Tuesday for us up here.
The clouds of Terranicus.
Oh.
The way they absolve entire planets and change every guy into a gal, every gal into a guy when the planet travels to the other side. You can't explain that. Your mom becomes your dad. Your dad becomes your mom. You have to wait another 7 years to travel back through the cloud to get it reversed.
How to explain a bunch of wieners becoming veeners in just 5 seconds. It just happens just like that. It's like a snap. It's like fairy dust. It's just things changing down there.
I don't know if I would have said it that way, but yes.
I think they get the idea. I think they understand what I'm saying. I've been learning a lot about, I guess you'd call them human euphemisms or idioms or allegories and anacronyms and the synonyms. And sometimes they have this beast called a thesaurus that wandered the earth a long time ago. Africa. I'm kind of lost in what I'm talking about right now, but I'd certainly like to meet a thesaurus.
They're the ones with the horns.
I think so.
Deeply troubling.
Deeply troubling, but hey, they're not around anymore as far as I can tell.
You're safe, Earth.
Doesn't mean I don't want to meet one. If you find a thesaurus, you let me know. And Freemasons as well. You just hit up old Herc.
Did we provide the means of having listeners reach out to us? Has that been clarified?
I don't think we figured that out with the producer yet, but it is coming.
I don't want to say it live on air, but I'll say it, you know. Producer's been dragging his toes a little bit. I think he's got a lot going on in
There's
life.
There's a lot going on.
Don't look at me like that.
I can't rip someone back there.
Oh, I can't make a joke. He's smiling. He loves it.
He doesn't care that we're dragging him. He loves it.
We're just, as you would say, shooting the shit.
That's exactly what we say. If we say his name live on air, though, he might kill us. I think that's from what I understand.
It might be a religious thing. It's a deeply sacred thing.
For now, he is producer, and he is just winking at me. He's making a gesture with his hand that can only be described as contentious.
It's a word a thesaurus might say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. On to further news. Oh, we are back in arts and culture, celebrities and such, but not on Earth. We are back to the wider galaxy of the Zarlafian Empire. Interplanetary superstar Perry Moonshoes fell down 4 flights of stairs while greeting fans at the Sanctum of Stairs on Volo Prime. This is the latest in a string of celebrity tumbles. Officials suspect foul play. When asked about the incident by the press, Perry had this to say. Let's roll that clip. Quick recoveries to Perry Moonshoes.
Oh, Perry. Have you been to the Sanctum of Stairs?
I've seen it from afar. I haven't actually walked up to it and experienced climbing those stairs. They are steep, though.
Lovely place.
It's beautiful, but it is steep.
It is steep. And I love Perry as much as the next person.
Oh, we all love Perry.
Everyone loves Perry. Iconic. The feet are shallow on Perry, and I don't want a victim blame, because I'm not a victim blamer.
Okay, what you about to say, though?
Well, what I'm about to say isn't victim blamey, because I said it's not.
That's how it works up here.
I'm not blaming the victim if I say in advance that I'm not blaming the victim.
That's right. I'm tracking. You know what? You could say anything you wanted right now.
And he's there got stubbed feet. Perry has stubbed feet. He has little stubbed feet, and that's why I fell down the stairs.
Perry, we're not victim blaming you. Your tiny feet may have contributed to your nasty spill.
No, Perry walks over a grate. He's going to take a shot right to his crotch.
Oh, Perry.
It's stubbed feet. It's just too smooth. It's the way of the world.
And that ain't nothing wrong with you, Perry. It's just what's wrong with your feet. Can we take a moment to appreciate the Live from Zarlof interview team just getting on that scene, they were ready to go.
Right, and ready.
That seems like that interview was just hot right in the action.
We got breaking news, and then seconds later, they had a microphone right in the face.
When you say breaking news, it's...
Yeah, I'm freshly broken.
Freshly broken.
Sizzling in the pan.
Yeah, like a Glorbanian on his 15th birthday.
When they're at their ripest.
Yeah, coming soup.
In the vein of incredibly prompt reporters, however,
okay. Yep.
We go now to our weather update with our field reporter, Daniel Stormy.
All right.
Who has been tracking the deadly gas typhoons on Bacchus 19. How's that weather, Daniel? Daniel?
Petrifying, Ron Spackman. The weather is petrifying. I am Petra D. In my 758 years of weather reporting, I've never changed my pants more in a single week than I have in these last few days. Not only are the typhoons 3 miles high and capable of combustion at any moment, they appear to be sentient. The typhoons have the ability to select what they terrorize and appear to be targeting lower-class housing establishments. When asked for a statement on why their prejudices against the projects, the typhoons stole my top hat and called me a bitch. An act that has left this reporter very sad.
I am very sorry to hear that, Daniel.
You know, Daniel, I remember when your grandfather was a baby, Ronald. I nursed him for a few weeks while your great-grandmother was exiled for her affair with my own wife.
That's more than enough. Thank you. Many thanks to our field reporter, Daniel Stormy.
Thank you, Daniel.
Poor man.
Oh, Daniel, that... We could just not be more grateful for our teams on the ground going about things. Those typhoons sound like they are a piece of work, and I cannot believe how petrified you are. I feel like you've made it abundantly clear where you stand, and I feel like you've given us a really good look into the lives and the circumstances of everybody affected. And it's just, you know, it was graphic. It was graphic. There's no way around that. But, you know, sometimes real news is going to be graphic.
In the vein of real news, I feel like it's important to also point out fake news. And Daniel and I go way back. It was a little bit of a little... friendly inside joke, I'm sure, when he was referencing my great-grandmother and her affair. Just a little bit of inside joshing, nothing more.
Depending on the name of the grandparents involved, there might have been some inside joshing.
Thesaurus.
Thesaurus, that's right.
I'm onto this. That's the breaking news!
In today's news, the Earth documentary Interstellar has a scene at the end where Earthling hero Coop walks into a room with an old human woman.
This isn't news.
Who says some stuff that I don't remember. What do you think about that, Ron?
All right. Well, I feel it incredibly important to once again clarify a fictional piece of work. Incredibly accurate.
Wait, what are you saying?
I don't believe Coop is a real individual.
Ron, I don't mean to call you a liar, but Coop is the bravest man that has ever walked the face of Earth. No. I saw him crying watching those videos of his children. You can't fake that.
I suppose not.
That's real. Maybe, that's real emotion.
I'm just saying maybe this Coop was born in a tube like I was, and as I was crafted for news, Coop might have been crafted for crying about his kids.
I'm sorry, you were crafted for news.
I was made in a tube for news.
There's a little bit to unpack there.
What's so strange about this?
Ron, I've heard of Gomodians, of course, being bred in tubes, but I had never heard that they were chemically balanced for particular jobs, particular roles in society. You're telling me that is all Gomodians, or is that just your family?
I feel like a lot of... Okay. Certain less affluent homes crafted in tubes, but they aren't able to afford the proper spices and chemicals that go into the tube.
Spices, yeah.
To flavor the baby for a specific task. I was flavored for the express purpose of delivering news from behind a desk. I was built to do it alone, so I'm adapting a little bit on the fly, but...
It'll hurt.
But, yes, it was a lot of pepper and some human hair.
Human hair.
Rosemary. And baby carrots.
So, the baby carrots. I assume that each spice or each ingredient affects some part of your personality or how you go about doing what you do. What did the baby carrots influence?
They made it where I have five eyes that see very well.
I see carrots. I've heard carrots are good for your eyes.
They're also good for giving you more eyes.
Is it each carrot ends up as an eye, or is it just like a certain amount of carrot is going to create it? If I had 10 carrots, would I have had 10 eyes?
I'd honestly have to ask my mother how many carrots were thrown in my tube.
Should ask your grandmother how many carrots she got from old Daniel's what's-his-face, his relative. That
was an inside joke. And Interstellar is not a documentary. I say this as someone who actually saw a documentary this very weekend. I saw an excellent documentary.
Well, what was it?
It was called Thomas and the Magic Railroad. And it featured incredible creatures of unparalleled beauty, the likes I've never seen.
Well, now I'm intrigued. What kind of creatures?
Deeply sexual beings.
Was Thomas a sexual being, or was it more the Magic Railroad being what he was?
Well, Thomas was one of them. I would say Thomas might have been a 7.
Can you give me a brief recap of the story of Thomas and the Magic Railroad? So I haven't seen this documentary. Like to understand what is going on with these sexual beings.
Yeah, so it's a historical account. There's a unseen eldritch being named Sir Topham Hatt.
Topham. All right.
I presume named after the raging fiery planet on the verge of our system.
Yes, absolutely.
But there's this clear and abundant fear for the return of this god-like creature who can only be communicated with via a small box on a wall, a telephone in Earth terms and such.
Right.
But a handful of humans are actually in this culture. They're side beings. They seem to have their own petty squabbles.
So you're saying there are some racially motivated storylines through this documentary. There are the humans, and then there's some kind of stronger being.
There's definitely a racial hierarchy. There's a lot going on. Okay. There's the eldritch being of Sir Topham.
Right, Topham.
There's the humans, and then there's clearly the goddess-like creatures, which I presume were designed for seduction, and yet when they speak, they elicit so much more.
So these beings are clearly eliciting feelings. So what is Thomas a human? Is Thomas one of these oddly sexual beings that is just like moving things along? What's the story here? What's the story?
The face of a human.
The sexual beings have the face of a human, or the face of a human?
They have the face of a human, but it is subtly implied that they only are temporarily communicating to us via this face, that they could use anything as their face. I assume if I were watching the Gomodian version, they'd have the face of a beautiful Gomodian creature.
So they are taking on the form that is going to best represent themselves to a species that they are communicating with, so that they're not afraid, so that they...
For the purpose of seduction, yes.
That's right. Okay.
So, in this case, I would give everything I own for a Gomodian copy and a night alone in the Bushmak Hotel, if you understand what I'm saying.
That is the Red District for all you listeners who might be mentally inclined.
Mentally inclined.
So they can picture it in their brains without actually having seen that.
Because when you say mentally inclined, it sounds like for those of you who want to think.
I mean, if you want to think about it, I'm not going to stop you. I guess that does make you mentally inclined. Mm. Physically inclined would mean that they could actually go there, and I'm just not sure that for humans that's really a possibility right now.
Might be a little tricky.
It'd be tricky. Oxygen. There. Yeah, no air.
The producer is telling me to get on to the next bit of news, but frankly, I would be remiss if I did not talk about Lady.
Who's Lady?
Now, Lady is one of these creatures, these...
sexual beings.
Simply put, yes.
Yeah.
Purple-ish, maybe. I like a
purple.
But the hues weren't just purple. They were more. There was something pinkish.
Pinkish purple?
Yes, yes.
See, this sounds like a deeply erotic experience you in this documentary.
It was frankly almost more than I can handle, because clearly it's meant for you to have feelings toward this specific being. They called it a train.
A train.
A train. An homage to your transportation devices of Earth.
That's right.
Clearly yeah. So much more. And this documentary showcased Lady in peril at multiple points.
Well, what happens at the end?
Another equally sexual being named Diesel 10. But he wields a claw.
A claw. He sounds downright evil and sexual.
A weapon of destruction or pleasure.
I didn't even think about it that way.
Why would you?
I mean, there are some creatures out there in this universe with claws that do some crazy things.
Mighty damage. And to a human, I can only imagine that Diesel 10's claw would be incredibly imposing.
Probably.
But for certain creatures like the carnations...
Carnations.
Well, they're made of metal. Well,
they could handle it. Yeah, they'd be all right.
They love it. It's a dream. They enjoy pain. All that to say, Diesel 10, fallen from grace, a Lucifer to humans, as it were.
That's right. That gets into all that deep stuff you got going on Earth. We read about it. It wasn't in Interstellar, but somebody told me about it.
Implied in Interstellar.
Mm.
I view Coop as a deeply Christian man.
Yeah, I think that's probably real.
So, producer, two seconds.
If anybody knows Coop personally, I would very much like to meet him. That's all I'll say.
And all I'll say before moving on to this next article is, well, frankly, if there's any being across the cosmos who bears any resemblance or tone to that of Lady from Thomas and the Magic Railroad, I implore you, by whatever means, find me, because I will be doing all in my power to find you. Breaking news! We have an update. This is a fresh bulletin, a red hot off the press.
Red hot, all right, let's hear it.
All right, where's that? All right. We have just received an update on the Brogan hostage crisis.
Oh.
For those unfamiliar, 7 Brogan athletes were taken hostage by a group of terrorists during the Tylon Spring Games, roughly 34 years ago. Law enforcement has had the terrorists surrounded in a greenhouse for the entirety of those 34 years. Several graduations, weddings, and funerals have been held at the active crime scene to keep the area secure while still allowing enforcement to experience key life events. We're hearing now, though, that there is now an 8th hostage as seen through one of the sniper scopes. A little baby boy has been born to one of the athletes.
Aww,
just beautiful. Our congratulations.
That's beautiful. Congratulations.
Oh, beautiful.
That's really wonderful.
Oh,
you know,
me in the studio. Oh, that is beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good one to have here near the end of the show. It's important to be reminded of the importance of life and that, you know, good things are always going to happen.
Mm.
Good things are going to come along.
Mm. Mm. Every mushroom cloud has a silver lining.
That's what...
That
they
is the euphemism, as they say on Earth.
Like a thesaurus would say.
That's right.
I struggle a bit with thesaurus. It's kind of my lateral lish.
It's frankly just beautiful to have a day that, well, is mostly positive news. Maybe not the deadly typhoons, but it's...
Everything else has been pretty good.
Yeah. It's a lovely day in the cosmos, and
it's a beautiful day. Glad to share it with you. Nothing could go wrong. Well, one thing might go wrong. I do have another story here. This is actually from Zarloff 1, where we are now, the shining center of the Zarloffian Empire. Artie Bumble, a Zarloffian official, was arrested yesterday on the basis of tax evasion. His sector is reeling in the face of such an unexpected betrayal of Zarloffian values. When asked why he would do such a thing, he said this, quote, "I don't know how to do them," end quote. Artie, just because you don't know how to do something doesn't mean you shouldn't give it a try.
It's important to give it a try.
It's important to give things a try.
All
like
kinds of things.
Lady from the Magic Railroad. I know Ron wants to give that a try.
I give it a try. If the stars saw it fit.
Ron is having a moment there with himself. I feel like it's important to...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, back to Artie. No, that's my fault.
I was made for news. I can put feelings aside for the news.
Baby carrots and pepper.
Artie... do you listen to the show?
Artie, I really hope you're listening to this show wherever you are.
Artie, say something.
Artie?
Do you listen to the show?
Artie, we're... Oh, wait, no. No, we can't hear Artie. All those baby carrots have given you some more brains there, Ron. Artie is, in fact, in the deepest dungeons of Zarloff 1.
Lady.
Uh-oh. Hey, Ron, where are we going?
Where's Artie?
Where are we?
I'm back. I'm fine. I'm all right. Everything is well. Everything's superior. Artie himself, as many know, I had a couple sprigs of rosemary specifically flavored to learn about specific hierarchies within our own government. And
that's the rosemary that does that? It gives you some political knowledge?
That's how it goes.
I need to take a big old bite of rosemary.
Give it a try.
Give it a little...
All that to say, I have a rich understanding of our system and the extensive measures we have taken to avoid corruption on Zarloff. There is a reason the Empire continues to grow instead of decaying inside. It is because of the relentless qualities that permeate through our souls.
That's right.
Justice reigns supreme in the mind of the Zarloffian.
There's going to be justice on Zarloff, baby. There's just no way around it. Being part of the Zarloffian Empire means that you are going to be treated well after the initial couple weeks of being conquered and having your lives completely turned upside down.
Yeah, you will be hazed a little bit.
You're going to be hazed, but it's all right. You're going to turn out just A-okay, baby girl. There is nothing wrong with being part of the glorious Zarloffian Empire. Yeah.
No, I mean, the hazing, the rough transitional period is what attaches you to the idea of the Zarloffs. When the Gomodian Empire was captured and absolved now joyously, we celebrate it now, but
that's right.
About what would have been 900 years ago for the Gomodians, for the first 2 weeks we all had to strip down to our underwear and run in the cold.
That's pretty common, I think they would yell things at us.
We had to drink a smoothie full of things that they put into it, and they'd laugh at us for a while, but 2 weeks later it was done. We were fine.
Yeah. The Glorbon smoothie was kind of a mix of different like pieces of space rats. Ooh. We had a little bit of comet dust in there, and there was something delicious. There was something delectable. I can barely put my little Glorbonian thumb on it, my ripped Glorbon thumb.
Did they put Primus Plasma in yours as well?
It tasted a bit like Primus Plasma. Yeah,
there's definitely some Primus Plasma in ours.
It kind of has this, like, the texture isn't too bad, but the flavor is it's a little oily.
It's a little olivey.
It's going to give you a little olivey, oily flavor. That's something you earthlings might understand. Well, with that, I'm sure you earthlings are enjoying your smoothies as we speak, as you are still in the first few weeks of being adjusted. We're glad you're here. This has been Live from Zarloff. We're going to say good night.
Wait. And I'm Ron Spack.
No, wait, hold on, Ron. I'm getting something. Wait.
Oh.
What? Send it through. All right, sorry. Sorry, earthlings. We have one last breaking story for you tonight. I'm getting word that the bodies of Tedris and John Bolius, the former hosts of Live from Zarloff, have been found. Their death has been ruled a homicide. And there's more. Carved into the chest of both victims, there is, well, seems to be some kind of message, something very macabre. Macabre, as they say it.
Well, spit it out. Herc, please.
Carved into the chest of Tedros and John Bolius is the message. More at 11.
Someone cut this mic off. I've had enough.
Cut. Let's cut.
Cut this. Cut this.
This has been Live from Zarlov, a Shoulder Knife production. Herc Dercules was played by Joey Fajone. Ron Spackman was played by Andrew Fajone. This episode featured special guests Catherine Fajone as Perry Moonshoes and John Paul Fox as Daniel Stormy. Art design by Bernadette Schwagel. Audio production by Joey Fajone. Theme music by Andrew Fajone. Want to keep up to date with Shoulder Knife and never miss a new episode? Follow us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and follow Live from Zarlov on Spotify and wherever you listen to your podcasts. To support Shoulder Knife and have access to future exclusive content, join our Patreon. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Many thanks to our field reporter. That's more than enough, Daniel. Thank you. You are Daniel.